Welcome to another episode of Inside Out, the podcast with me, Kiabi. I hope that you are absolutely well, and I really hope that you enjoyed the first episode of the three-part series that I'm doing on womanhood. And for this week, I had a chat with Kopano Bokolani on women in media. So as I was reading this other article on the cult of womanhood, one of the things that stood out for me was the fact that media was such an integral part in carrying certain messages about, you know, womanhood. And to this day, it's very evident that media plays such an integral part in communicating important information to us, in presenting new ideas to us, and in, you know, in some instances, perpetuating the same stereotypes that we've been seeing. And it just is an integral part when it comes to shaping the landscape of society. And I thought that it would be absolutely amazing to have a conversation on women in media and just really reflecting on how media has basically shaped us personally and how it continues to shape society as well. So I had a conversation with Kopano Bokolani, who is a full-time student at the University of Pretoria and is extremely passionate about people, as well as trying to solve the most philosophical questions of our day, as she is a philosophy student. And she also has a passion in broadcasting media as well as digital media. And she is a podcast host for Sawudha, which aims to ensure that listeners are politically and socially aware South Africans when it comes to what is happening within the political landscape of South Africa. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation. I must put a disclaimer. We were completely sober recording this episode. I think it's just two people sharing their passion for a medium that they're absolutely passionate about, because we are both in the media space, and it's filled with so much energy and passion and absolutely amazing experiences of the importance of media in our lives and the role that it has played personally in our lives. And I hope that you do enjoy this episode. And apart from you enjoying the episode, I hope that you become cognizant of the influence that media has played in your personal life, and from this moment forth, that you navigate that relationship in a way that is mutually beneficial to, you know, both the society and both to yourself. Because sometimes when we consume ideas outside of us that inform us about what we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to be, it can really, you know, make us feel, say, maybe less of a woman, or less of a man, or less of whatever it is that you think ought to be, because you're consistently getting messaging about how you should be. So I hope that you become cognizant of that relationship, because I really think that it's important for us as people that in the same light that we are self-aware, we need to be socially aware and be aware of how we show up in the world and how, you know, the world influences us in defining ourselves. So I really hope that you do enjoy this episode and that you enjoy this conversation that I'm going to have with Kopano. Hey, girl.
Hey.
How are you?
Girl, I'm good. You know, I mean, under the circumstances. But apparently Russia put out a vaccine, so I am like crossing fingers. And also I saw today on, you know, the Twitter streets that I think the UK, they had a social distancing event. So I was listen, just at the tube, and we have December. So yeah, but like I'm good. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm well, babes. So when I was planning this content, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about the first time I actually remember having a TV personality that I looked up to, a character on TV, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was on a series. It was Muvango. I don't know if you used to watch it like a long ago.
My vibes. Yes.
Yes. It was a long time ago. I was still in primary, right? And then my favorite character was this lady, Thandazane. So she was like a CEO lady.
Mokwebo, what a deuce.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I just used to admire like women that had presence, you know,
Yeah.
that could be like family women, and then also go to work and kill it. And that's like the one memory I have of having a lady that I looked up to. Do you
Yeah.
have a memory of admiring a female character who you looked up to as a young girl?
Funny enough, so every time when people talk, like, ask me, how did you like fall in love with media? I'm like, yo, TV, because it was always like, I want to be on your TV. I want to be CC. I
I
want to
also
be
wanted to
Sade.
be on your TV.
I was just like, I want to be CC, guys. I want to be Sade. Like, what am I doing? You know? And for me, what was so cool was that, like, I used to obviously speak to my parents and be like, mom, dad, I want to be like them. And then they're like, yeah, but they go to school also and they present. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, imagine being a student, like, you know, you're in school, but you're also like on TV. That must be so cool. You must be so popular. Obviously, back then it was for the wrong reasons. When I look back now, I think what, you know, drew me to them was the fact that for me, they were doing it all. They lived this life where they lived multiple, you know, I don't want to say personalities, but they were different people.
Multiple
they could
roles.
Yeah, multiple roles in their lives. And I was just like, that's what I want to do. Like, let's go inside. So I think for me, your TV, that's where, like, I was just like, guys, listen.
Did you think it would actually be something that happens, though? Because funny enough, I remember I was drawn to, remember Carol Bauer from that women's show, what is it called?
The talk show, talk three?
The talk show, not on talk three.
Which
it
one?
Was Mutswako. Mutswako, ne?
Okay, I remember now.
Not Neoline.
I'm trying to put a face, but like, it's not coming. But I know Mutswako. Yeah, I remember.
So I was drawn to her. I don't know, like, every time she presented a show, I was like, ooh. You know, it's something that really drew me in. But like I said, I've always had a thing for, like, women that, you know, were, because she was also an executive producer of the show, you know, so it had always been like a thing that drew me in. And what do you think about the portrayal of women in media today? All across music, series, movies, books, any form of media.
I think we have come a long way when I look at what used to be and what is now. So we have come a long way. So I don't want to discredit that, what the progress that has been made. However, you know, women are still very much either being portrayed as, well, one of the characters, I have characters, right? So the sexy girl, so beautiful body, beautiful smile, perfect skin. Everybody wants to be her type of vibe.
Rich, popular.
Listen, is popping. Mugela is everything that you could ever think of, right? Then there's the strong woman. So now she lets everybody walk over her and she's told like, no, you're strong and you can handle it. But like, now it's not even like mistakes. People are just abusing. People are, you know, so I feel like you mostly find these two characters or two portrayals that people try to live up to but never can, because nobody can live, you know, being abused all the time, and then the only like condolence that they have is that, ah, you're strong.
Yeah.
And no one can be perfect. No one can look perfect, because beauty is a social construct. And so what it is what you believe it to be. And you know, so it's like, it's still very generic. I wouldn't even lie to you, very generic. But, you know, women are starting to speak up, you know, starting to show themselves for who they are, starting to be okay with, you know, I don't want to even call them imperfections, because it's not an imperfection. It's who you are, you know. But starting to be okay with their true selves. So that's pretty cool. But I do think that, you know, there's still a long way to go in terms of media and how women are portrayed. I really do think so.
What do you think is the role of social media in the portrayal of women? Because I think the one thing that I truly appreciate about social media is that it creates communities, you know, for different types of people, for different kinds of, you know, body types, whatever it is that has been sold to us by main media streams, that it's the right way of being a woman, or it's the right way of being, or beauty, or whatever idea it may be that they're selling to us. How do you think social media is bridging that gap? Do you even think that social media is bridging that gap?
I have quite the love-hate relationship with social media. So anyone
Girl, who
that
you
knows
telling?
me, listen, anyone that knows me knows that I thoroughly enjoy curating my Instagram, but I also thoroughly enjoy taking a detox from social media. Do you get what I'm saying? And I think social media, yo, oh geez, I'm gonna take it from both sides, right? So yes, it's created spaces where, you know, as a thick girl, I can go onto the timeline and be like, yes, girl, you know, people doing the most, and I'm like, yeah, and we all celebrate each other. But I also think that it's created a dysmorphia of what reality is, because in reality, thick girls are still being fat shamed, or skinny girls are still being skinny shamed, or like everybody is still being shamed outside of this perfect world that Instagram has created. Or sorry, what social media has created shame. Like, Instagram doesn't think that I'm bashing it. And also another thing is that when you look at, I think also social media has fetishized certain elements. So, for example, freckles, fake freckles have become a thing.
But also, isn't it crazy how at some point that was looked down upon?
I mean, yes, like it's great, but I'm also like, don't appropriate. Like, I feel like they are like, do you get like, because for this, for I think for me, the thing is that a person living with that, whatever it is, like whether they have, you know, a gap in their teeth or they have freckles or whatever, you know, is being fetishized on the timeline, they live in their everyday lives being insulted, being, you know, whatever they go through. And then on the timeline, it's like, ooh, you know, life is
It's a
great. It's
trend.
not. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think it has created a bit of a double world in the sense that, you know, like, yes, we see on the timeline, oh my gosh, this is happening. But like when you go into real life, it's like, that's not the case. That is like not the vibes, you know? I think. And what social media has done, though, is that it has shown us the, I want to say, the gaps in media. For example, the Vogue challenge, right? The Vogue challenge shook the world. Like, everybody was just like, what? Vogue Africa, let's
Also,
go,
for
right?
somebody that is not necessarily active on social media, can you just briefly explain what the Vogue challenge
Oh,
was?
okay, cool. So the Vogue challenge was basically people, like a lot of creatives, basically. I don't want to say only photographers, creatives. So whether you're a model, an artist, you are a creative director, you are
Even regular
whatever, even
people.
regular, like everyone, right? So everyone was like, listen, here's my picture. And then they'd put the Vogue emblem or like headline, or I don't know what to call it,
So
that
it's
on the
like they were
picture.
imitating like the cover being the
The
cover of Vogue.
cover of Vogue, right? Which was so cool because you got to see all these really cool photographers that do amazing work. But it also highlighted, why isn't there a Vogue Africa? Like, now you start thinking, like, actually, like, why is it that, you know, when I go onto that publication, it's like, I'm gonna see Hong Kong, I'm gonna see Italy, I'm gonna see France, I'm gonna see India, I'm gonna see, listen, Australia, there's USA, there's everything, but not Africa. And so that makes you really, as a young African woman, like be like, whoa, like, where am I being represented? And it's like, and you have this internal battle, do I create a table or do I want a seat at the table? Like,
And I
so
think
yeah.
that also brings about aspirations of wanting to move then, you know, like because you think that there's more opportunity outside of where you're situated currently.
Devs.
And speaking about, you know, magazines and books, because there's so many forms of media where we get ideas about women generally. And I remember for me, like in my early stages of like, you know, being a woman, especially when I got to varsity, right? Being Mary Jane informed so much. It taught me so much about being a black woman who is successful, obviously in the context of America. But there were so many elements that I found relatable, and there were so many characteristics that I was so determined to imitate from being Mary Jane, because I was like, I could see myself being this woman in like my 30s, you know, except the love challenges that she was having, because girl, I ain't about that life. You know, and I think at different stages in our lives we have forms of media that actually contribute to that phase of your life, because I know for a fact that Mary Jane was like a big part in me defining myself as a black woman, you know. So I want to ask you, which series, movie, book, or any program informs your ideals of womanhood currently, or maybe, you know, thus far has been outstanding in you adopting ideas about womanhood?
A YouTube channel called The B Word. Oh my gosh.
Yes,
Listen,
girl.
the B Word
That
is.
is the most relatable because she's amazing.
I've met her and she is, you know what? She's amazing on her YouTube channel and she's amazing
I
in
want to
real
say,
life.
yes, I want to say her name's Bokang, and you
Bokang,
guys need to
yes,
check
by
her
the
out.
way.
She's
Please,
absolutely
please,
amazing.
please, please.
Yes.
She speaks about everything that has
Yeah.
to do with being a woman. And I think her content is so refreshing. So, like, the way she puts it together is just like, yes, please. Even now, at a time where people aren't allowed to meet, listen, her editing is on point and she, oh, I love it. I love it for her. So she's literally one of the people that I'm just like, girl, I literally like, praise be. I guess form of media has to be a book called Coconut by Kopano, which is quite ironic because, you know, same name. But anyway, this book, right, has, I relate to it quite a lot personally because I've been told that I'm a coconut. So, you know, the sort of like understanding how different people process, I guess, that label, how people process your, I guess, your standing in community. And it sort of also it inspired, or it has inspired quite a lot of the work that I do in my philosophy, where I've written, you know, a paper about, it's not like published or anything like that. It was just for school, guys. Nothing intense, but about double consciousness, about the fact that and I know it's sort of drawing away from the initial concept of double consciousness, but it has to do with the fact that I'm like, okay, I'm a young African girl, but I'm trying to also be a cosmopolitan human being, a human being that stands a chance in a very, 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 very white male dominated world, you know? And so it's like, okay, I'm trying to be, you know, I'm still trying to relate to the people around me. I'm trying to relate to my, the people that have, the village that has raised me. But I also somehow want to be someone that is, you know, I guess, respected in, you know, the broader circle of life. And that's tricky because, yeah, I mean, the whole continent is still not necessarily respected. So that's like quite a challenge. So I think those two have really informed, you know, different parts of me. When we talk about the B word, the more sexual, you know, conversations, the more, you know, girly conversations. And coconut has sort of helped me sort of understand like what this world looks like when you are trying to be successful, when you're trying to like dabble on both ends of the world. And so there's, yeah.
And it's crazy when you speak like that, because I have, when you actually touched a very it's not a wound, but a deep part of me, because there was a moment in my life where I realized that I am living in a form of double consciousness, because I think, especially when you go to a Model C school or a multiracial school, you know, I literally took it all the way back to that point where I was like, okay, you know, I come home to, I grew up in a township, right? I come home to a township, but my social life and all the activities that I do and everything that I am, mostly is, you know, on the other side of town, you know, with ideals that are influenced by like white people, and you know, and it's very difficult to integrate those two parts of yourself, honestly.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
So that rang very true for me. And you know, you mentioned Bogang as one of the ladies who you, I would say, truly admire and learn so much from.
Yeah.
Can you name me a few other women who you think are doing the Lord's work when it comes to changing the narrative about women in media, you know, representations of women in media and even behind the scenes?
I have so many. Okay. First one, Lerato Mokoka. She is an actor on Gomorrah, South African telenovela. One of my dearest friends ever. I love her so much. But it's shocking because she's actually trying to be behind the scenes. But she has shown me that, like, you can literally jump from one end of life. I mean, she's a financial sciences graduate and now she's doing acting, and you know, so I think she has sort of, for me, like, I'm just like, yes, please, you go, girl. Hulisani Ravele, spoke about her earlier, Cece.
Amazing.
Love her. She is literally the multi-talented. Absolutely, absolutely adore her, from MCing to voiceovers to radio. She's killing it. Another one, Naledi Sibisi. Naledi Sibisi, she's the editor-in-chief at the Throne Agency, the last time I checked. And Karen Williams is the founder, CEO and founder of the Throne Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Those two women, I'm just like,
gosh, incredible,
I just, I cancel it. Like, wow.
Incredible. Like,
literally. Yeah. So I just, there are so many people that I can possibly think of, but like, those are probably like top ones that come to mind.
What do you think is the importance of having women in power in the media space?
Everywhere. Like, so the thing is, right, this is sort of, you know, and I'm sorry to relate a lot back to like philosophy, but it's like one of my majors.
It's, okay,
it's sort of how I view life. When you look at, for example, the formation of artificial intelligence, right, the biggest challenge that people have been having is understanding how to program artificial intelligence, how to make sure that it is not racist, how to make sure that it's not sexist. And I think that speaks to our daily lives and how we consume things. Because if we're teaching a non-human object what it means to be human and it ends up being sexist, then it means that there are core fundamental issues with our society and how it portrays women and their roles. So now I feel, I've always seen media is the biggest. I mean, when you look at, for example, South Africa, radio reaches more than half of the population in the country, right? Yeah. If content on radio is, and I mean, let's say the biggest, you know, radio stations, if the content on there isn't representative of, you know, women from all backgrounds, then what you're going to have is that you're going to have a skewed representation of what it means to be a woman, what it means, what the struggles of women are. You're going to have what men speaking on the struggles of women, which is something that I found so weird the other day. On Women's Day, on Women's Day, on the 9th of August in 2020,
this past day,
64 years later, after our four women did the things there at the back, there was this thing, who was it on again? Lebu Lion or Lion Lebu?
Lebu Lion. She has also a podcast, one, by the way.
Yes, yeah. Also another woman who's doing the most amazing in media.
Yeah.
But she, you know, saw, she was posting this thing on like how there was a panel, and it was pitched to her, and it was an all male panel, and they were talking about the injustices that women face, and I was just like, 64 years later, right? Like 64 years ago, women marched so that they could have a voice, firstly, and then they could speak on the injustices that they face. 64 years later, you're going to pitch a whole event where men speak on the injustices that women face. I'm like, how in the world, how do you not understand the basic thing that was marched for in 1956? Like, literally, Literally,
But
this was it,
I
you
think this is
know?
a problem that exists across all industries. Because I remember I was watching this other documentary. It's actually a series called Skin
Yeah.
Decision on Netflix, and it's basically two women who help people that do not feel comfortable in their bodies. Maybe you struggle with acne, or you gave birth and your body feels
Yeah.
like a bit different. And she mentioned something very important. One of the things is that the plastic surgery industry is mostly male dominated as well. And she
Yeah.
said that, "I find it so disturbing that men, because she had to operate this lady and perform a transplant."
Yeah.
So she said that she finds it so disturbing that males are the ones that have a say when it comes to our bodies. Like, not no, like if you come in and you say you want this, breasts that are like absolutely humongous,
Yeah.
they don't, I mean, obviously they're trained to, think about the health implications of it, but it's like it doesn't necessarily look natural,
Yeah.
so it's like in terms of, beauty for women and men having a say for women as to how they should look,
Yeah.
the experiences, you cannot speak on the experiences of women as a man.
It doesn't make sense. It's not your lived
It
experience.
literally does not make sense. And I think this has been, the challenge in so many industries, especially even in advertising. I
Yeah.
remember I went to a conference last year as well. They were talking about women in media, and they were saying that a lot of the people that are at the top making decisions are men,
Yeah, literally, I mean, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Like, literally, when you can speak to anyone in any field, literally any field you can think of in the world, they'll tell you that most likely either their CEO, their founder, their CFO, like all the people in the top management positions are men, the fact that we can even still today, in 2020, people can ask stupid questions like, could South Africa have a female president? Would that even work? What do you mean, would that even work?
What does the
Like,
person's gender have to do with their capacity?
exactly. Let's first of all, let's start there. But like, it's like the fact that people still doubt, the fact that you still have the first female, what, the fact that it's just so many things that you're like, dude, are we still, I feel like we're living in the 1960s. Like, what is going on, And it's so scary because, like, it's not like, the thing is, people are like, yeah, it's today, but like in 10 years' time, things will be better. No, the problem is that these people are making decisions that are going to last for 10 years. So that means that, yes, we can have females, more women in leadership in 10 years, but the foundations, the systematic, the way things are done in our system reflect only in 10 years' time, reflect then when the woman is in power. And that's tricky because now these things are law, these things are common, these things are normalized. And so yeah, like media has been a great, I think, platform for women to speak, but like we also get tired of being activists, hey? Like every day we're being activists. And you, it's not like you chose to be, you are forced to be. You are forced to, constantly think like, oh my gosh, like when I apply for this job, yo, I'm crossing fingers. When my professor is a white male, now it's tricky because you cannot say something that could possibly offend them because guess what? They're grading your papers, even though you know very well that what you're writing is your lived experience and therefore cannot be deemed incorrect. But because it's not their lived experience, it is deemed incorrect. So, yo, yeah.
I hear you.
I could
And
wow for a very long time.
as you're speaking, I'm also thinking about like management, like women in management. I think one thing that I've found particularly interesting is, like I told you last year when I went to that women in media conversation thingy, right? One thing that they highlighted, which I think it's kind of a contributing factor, the quota system, right? That says we need to have 10% black employees and 5% black women, right? Because the challenge becomes that even though you have you fill the quota, 5% of your management are women or whatever the case may be. What impact do they even have a say, in the final decision? Because I remember this lady that was speaking, she was in the advertising industry, and she said that in as much as there are women, when they want to do an advert on beer, or an advert that represents a woman as powerful in a suit or whatever, then they'll tell you, no, it's not sexy enough. We need this to be, we need to basically perpetuate the same stereotypes that we have been perpetuating, because that is what sells, that is what has been giving money, So I think the other challenge that I have is that, even though we still have like women in leadership in any industry, to what extent do they actually have the final say?
Very little,
Because
I think. Very, very
exactly.
little. At the end of the day, you still have superiors that are what? Male. Like, what do you do then? You can't leave because what are you gonna get fired? Like, you can't wild out because then it's gonna be like, nope, you're contractually, like, I don't wanna, I don't, not under me. Report to me. Sorry. I was like trying to find like a nice way to say that. You contractually, report to me. So, like, what are you gonna do, sir, ma'am? Yeah, so it's
It's
just
quite
such a
tricky.
tricky,
And what stereotypes are you tired personally of seeing about women or in media? Girl, I'll start.
Girl.
I'm tired of seeing like stories and narratives about women being competitors. I am so tired of that
Listen,
narrative.
listen, listen. Yo, number one.
I'm
Number
tired
one,
of
that
that
one.
narrative.
I'm tired of how there's always, if there's two best friends, like the one has to be skinny and the other one is chubby, and the one that's skinny always gets
Girl.
the guys. And not even like I'm trying to compete for the guys, but like, like the hell,
I
like
hear
the
you.
chubby one is always the, if we can, use a term, the duff or whatever. Like, it's just like, dude, come on, we're in 2020. Like, I'm thicker than a snicker, but I look good, okay? I look good. I'm tired of you. The, every day sexy person that I spoke about earlier on, like, she has to look this certain way. I'm tired of also how particularly black women always have to go through so much in terms of getting hurt before they find the right person. No, ma'am, I don't need to go through, hurts
A lot.
before I, find the right person. I also deserve to find love in a very normal, loving way. Yo.
And with that being said, I know that, we both have aspirations to be in media for a very long time. And if we were given, I don't know, any opportunity, whatever, what roles and ideas would you like to see more of, pertaining to women in media?
Women that can choose to be whoever and whatever they want to be, and it not being shamed. Women that are not labeled as strong women, but that, women that can still conquer the world, but like strong is not the word, guys. Like, we need to find another word. But being able to just see storylines that, oh, that don't center around men. I remember the B word, right? They recently had an episode where they were talking about girl code, and the first thing that they said was, or one of the first thing that they said was, it's so weird how we center girl code around guys. Like, don't, or an example would be, don't date my ex-man. Like, no, let's take it back. What does that has to do with, I think, respect. And I think also it depends from relationship to relationship. Respect can mean, for example, like, I'm okay with you jollering with my ex, just let me know so that I'm not like, shook. So yeah, women that can, that are strong, women that can do it all, but also women that don't have to do it all, women that don't have to prove their worth to society, but they have an inherent worth because they are persons. And they are people that deserve respect regardless of who or what they're doing, you know? So yeah, I just want to see, you know, a media space that allows women to be whatever they want to be when they want to be. I think WAP has been quite an interesting, you know, social girl. Experiment. I think it's a social experiment that Cardi and Megan were like, let's do this.
Yeah, let's see what's going to happen. You know? And it's such an empowering song, I must say.
I listen to it once a day, at least. It is
because it
my
does
vitamins.
Something to your confidence, right?
Listen, it's
and
like,
you feel
girl,
sexy.
You can...
I don't like. I wish men understood, but they don't have to understand. We'll still have a good time either way.
That's the thing. I wish that media just gives us the space to be women who want to be women that don't have to validate anything to anyone about ourselves, whether it's our weight, our skin, our career choices, like. You know, whether you want to be a house mom or you want to be an astronaut, it doesn't matter. It's all great. Live your best life. Do what you want to do. And as long as you're happy and you're fulfilled and you find yourself in a place that you're like, I'm empowered. I'm empowered to make the decisions that I want to make in my life. Then go for it, girl.
I think in the same light that the women before us had to fight, we'll still have to continue the fight so that, you know, hopefully our children don't have to continue the fight of... You know, having to open up spaces. Girl, you can be tired. Like, go to bed, rest.
Helen Joseph didn't march so that me and I must still be here, guys.
Go to bed, rest, wake up tomorrow and fight.
Just to end it off, like, on a positive note, people mustn't think I'm a Debbie Downer. I'm very grateful for the platforms that I have. 100%. I think that's the one thing that I'm like, you know what? Helen Joseph and all the girls did not... They fought for this, you know. The fact that I'm in university, the fact that I have the ability to say the things that I say in public you know, like the fact that I can be a multifaceted human being, the fact that I have the time, I have the resources, I know my place in the world, and my place is not to be silent. My place is to be the biggest voice and noise I could possibly be. And a voice of reason at that. We don't just make noise in this house. We make noise with reason and logic. So I really am grateful for all the women that have come before me. I know that we could be in a very different space. We could be we're in the pits now, but we could be in Bikini Bottom. Mm-hmm. But we're not, you know, because they did what they did. And yeah, so I'm always grateful.
And I think it's so important because I literally think that a movement can start with one voice. Yeah. You know, so it's important that we continue having these conversations. It's important that we keep questioning our society and the way things are being done, because that's the only way that things will be changed. So, you know, conversation with me, you are absolutely the best.
Thank you for having me. Oh my God.
This was so much fun.
I had an absolute blast. I hope you guys keep listening to, you know, Inside Out. Make sure that you are subscribed, okay? Make sure that
rate
you have
and
followed,
review.
Okay? Make sure that you are following Kia B on Insta and Twitter so you don't miss an episode, okay? Okay? Okay. All right. If you didn't
so
do
much.
All these things, if you didn't do all these things, like, cancel yourself. Minus yourself from the planet. Oh, and me as well.
So
I have a South Park.
Of
South,
course, let me say.
Plugging
so
myself.
So media is my first love, and Copano politics is her first love, right?
Yes.
Well, Sophia is my first love, and she's doing absolutely amazing. Please check her out. Her podcast is Sauda Podcast.
Michelle.
How do you spell that? S O
U T A S O U S A H with an exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark. And
yes.
Then, yeah, South.
We're
up.
Also on Instagram as well as Twitter, South Up Podcast. If you can't find that, just look for Copano Book and then you'll find the podcast by linkage. that's where we're at.
Oh my girl, I love you so much. Thank you so
love
much
you
for
too,
having this
baby.
Conversation with me.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.